can't move the mic, move the pulpit. So I told the men before church that would probably be done by 11:30. We're not going to make it. I have 17 pages here. I want to show them to you, though. Not too bad. But last time I was up here, I had a little trouble reading my notes, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen. So today I'd like you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to start reading at verse 19. You understand that John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's been called up in the Spirit to heaven, where the Lord Jesus himself speaks to him. And in this particular part of Revelation, he's told to write letters to the seven churches. And some people think that the seven churches represent seven eras of churches. And the one we're reading about today would certainly fit our era. I personally believe there were churches that were actually in these locations that he wrote to. I can see the similarities of the progression of the church age from the various churches. But anyway, this particular church that he's writing to, their problem was they're lukewarm. And the Lord says, I wish you were either hot or cold. Since you're lukewarm, I want to spew you out of my mouth. pretty harsh words, but I feel that for a lot of us, a lot of the churches today, that would be a good description. Lukewarm, not on fire like we used to be, not out there witnessing. Very seldom hear a gospel message in church anymore. And we're going to change that today. So anyway, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, no better salvation message than that, although I don't think that's entirely the whole point of it, and we'll get into that a little later, but you probably, if you grew up in church, you heard the little song, Behold, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, 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 behold. Anyway, that's the salvation part of it. Jesus Christ is standing at the door knocking. And he wants you to answer in faith, believing, and ask him to come in to your life. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved." Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's as simple as that. You know, the thief on the cross, what kind of prayer did he pray? He didn't say anything about, he didn't confess his sins. He didn't come out and say, "I believe you're God, come in the flesh." All these things we need to believe. All he said to Jesus was, "Remember me when you come into paradise." And God knew his heart. And God knew that he believed that Jesus was his Savior. And that man was saved. That very day, Jesus said, "This very day you will be with me in paradise." So this is what we need as Christians. If we're going to be anything less than lukewarm Christians, we need to know that we're saved. Too many Christians I've run into don't know for sure. They seem to think they can't know for sure. Well, is the Bible the Word of God? Do you believe it's true? Yes. Are the promises true? Yes. So for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Amen. I mean, there's no question about it. Have you called on the name of the Lord? And if you haven't, do it now. And then remember, you know, on August 4th at 10:30 at Cherry Creek Community Bible Church, I call on the name of the Lord, and the Bible says, I shall be saved. And you're going to find that Satan, the great deceiver, is going to tell you, you have to obey all the commandments. And we'll add a few more in. You know, you can't smoke or drink or go to movies. Can't wear short skirts. Where's Mishka? No tattoos. No. That's not scriptural. That's Satan trying to challenge you. And I want you to know that you are never going to grow spiritually until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his word and not anything that you do or any way you feel. God said, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, period. And if you've done that, you just keep going back to it. Go back to it, go back to it. I was singing happy birthday to myself the other day, and my wife says, it's not your birthday. I said, well, it might be my spiritual birthday. When I was growing up, I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart at least 150 million times. I was a preacher's kid, and we had gospel messages all the time and altar calls, year after year, week after week, I'd ask Jesus in my heart. And then I'd go act like the worst sinner ever was. I probably wasn't so bad. I was just a little kid, but I felt terrible. And Satan would say, you're not really saved. You're going to have to ask Jesus in your heart again next time there's an altar call. Until a preacher came to our church and he said, well, I just told you this morning. You make a confession of faith. If you have to, if you feel like it's necessary and there's scripture for it, get up in front of the church and publicly confess your faith in Jesus Christ. But then anchor your Christian life on what God said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's close in prayer. Certainly didn't get to all 17 pages, but I think that's the message God has for us this morning. And I don't want to confuse the issue. Father God, thank you for coming to this earth as a man, living a perfect life and dying in our place. And then giving us the promise that we can anchor our faith to your finished work.